This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Good evening and welcome to Campus Voices. I'm your host, Maggie Davis. Today we will be discussing African American graduation rates at the University of Kentucky on campus. WRFL reporter Kiara Jackson reports from a national report card on the statistics of African American graduation rates.
Recent University of Southern California Race and Equity Center National Report Card, Kentucky ranks fifth in the nation for a statewide equity score of 2.36. The average equity index score across 506 public institutions is 2.02. No campus earned above a 3.5. The equity indications for this report card were broken down into four indicators: representation, gender, completion, and Black student to Black faculty ratio. The University of Louisville leads Kentucky in those categories, receiving an A in representation equity and an overall equity index of 3.5. The University of Kentucky received a C in representation equity and an F in completion equity. For WRFL, I'm Kiara Jackson.
Joining us today, we have three guests in the studio to discuss graduation and retention rates here at the University of Kentucky. First, we have Ruth Gonzalez-Jimenez, who is a Latino student specialist who also works closely with students in the Martin Luther King Center on campus. We also have Dr. Sonja Feast-Price, who serves as the Vice President for Institutional Diversity and has been a faculty member at UK for nearly 27 years. We also have Christine Harper, who is the Associate Provost for Enrollment Management. We thank all three of you for being here with us today. Obviously, a lot of experience in this room. Ruth, we'll start with you. You work closely with minority students on campus. What are the main overarching issues that you see those students are struggling with the most?
Sure. So I think the first thing comes with the understanding that most institutions of learning here in this country weren't created for many of the students that they're now serving. So I think the biggest issue that many students, like myself, who also graduated from the university, was also an URM here. When my student population was here, I was 1% of the student population, Latino students. Now we're nearly 5%. So understanding that, for example, that jump in percentages having to do with the institution responding and providing students with the resources that they need in order to thrive here. And so the biggest challenges go with any URM really are representation, seeing programs and things that they can naturally gravitate towards. And so understanding that, for example, these last 3 years, we haven't had a King Center that really has the full functionality that our students really need in order to be able to thrive. And so the Student Center just missing in general was something that kept us from adequately being able to share our resources across campus with our targeted student population. So whether that was providing mentorship or programs, different identity-based things, or simply providing a meal to a student in need, that's, you know, one of the things that our students face as first generation is, you know, financial restrictions that they can't, you know, they have to find other opportunities in order for them to be able to be successful. And that comes along with potentially not having all the financial aid that they need in order to succeed in ways that other traditional students might. So financial restrictions, lack of resources, or maybe just simply the other constraint within our communities of underrepresented students is that we just have an ignorance amongst us, that we just don't know what resources are out there because historically we haven't been in places of higher education and higher learning. And so the constraint that we as educators have is being able to identify what specifically are the resources that our students don't have or that they don't know that they have, and being able to figure out ways of creatively sharing those with the students and actually getting the students to use them. So whether that's financial stuff stuff, or just things as simply as, you know, going to our counseling center and exhausting all the resources that maybe even their health fee has. And these are just things that, being first generation and traditionally being communities that haven't had access to higher education in this country, might not know, or simply they don't exist at these institutions. So as educators, we have to respond to either identify what resources a student needs or be able to create them for them.
Great, thank you. Like you said, there is that disparity between needing certain programs and getting those certain programs. Christine, as Associate Provost for Enrollment Management, what are some of the new programs that you see that students might need? And what is your office doing to help increase that Black undergraduate student enrollment number?
I think that first, it is critical to understand that at an institution of higher learning, the learning that takes place by having a diversity of thought, experiences, cultures, and backgrounds is critical to our students, regardless of background, for employability and having good conversations. And so as an enrollment manager, it's really important for me to work to make sure that we have a very diverse student body and population. And that really starts from working with students early on. And so some of the first priorities is to reach lower and lower into high schools and even community organizations when students, we can pipeline and grow interest and awareness in the University of Kentucky as an option for students. And the ability to grow those that see our institution as a viable option and the resources and support that they can get here is one of the major things that we need to do. So that early outreach and education about the opportunities here. Then there are structural things that we need to look at. I think there are opportunities for us to enhance some of our outreach in terms of what we do by creating, and we've created this year, two diversity recruiter positions in addition to support we already had in the office, but really kind of growing that outreach there. We're going to be continuing to look at opportunities to grow our current students' outreach to prospective students, because peer-to-peer recruitment, especially once a student's been admitted, to be able to think about and look at what is a experience of a student on campus look like. Our current students are the best, so partnering with MLK and Office of Institutional Diversity to really help those conversations and make those connections grow are important. And then also effective scholarshiping, making sure that we get students to apply early, file the FAFSA, and have the best packages possible, to the point that Ruth made about options and opportunities. It needs to be also something that financially is affordable, and so doing our best to make sure that students are applying early in the process for those specific programs that can help get them the best package possible.
Right, and you touched on a lot of issues there, but I want to go back just real quick. You mentioned reaching down into high school students and those community centers. How difficult is that to do, especially in the state, especially around the Louisville area, when the University of Louisville is ranking so much higher than the University of Kentucky in terms of that diversity enrollment?
I think it really is getting out there early and then being very intentional about our outreach and specifically meeting students where they are. And we have done some really good work, but we can continue to work even more intimately and build relationships, particularly with high school counselors of schools where we know we have large populations, community-based organizations. Those relationships are really important. It really comes down to, particularly with community-based organizations and high school counselors, are students having good experiences? Do they feel comfortable sending their students? And do they also have good relationships with the people in my role and the recruiters, as well as people on campus, to say, oh, I know who I can reach out to? And so those relationships are really critical, and we're continuing to build those, and that is a huge emphasis.
Right. And Ruth, you can obviously speak from experience here going to the University of Kentucky, but growing up near Louisville, what went into your decision to leave Louisville to come here?
So for me specifically, it was the financial opportunities that I was given at this institution. So I had applied to U of L. In fact, that was the first school I got into and accepted to in this country, you know, as a first-generation immigrant as well. And so, but what made me come to the university was that, for example, the William C. Parker was the scholarship that afforded me the opportunity to be able to see the school as an option. I came to visit the university, but financially that, you know, even leaving home versus commuting, UK was by far the much better option because simply the financial opportunities that they gave me versus what U of L absolutely didn't even offer me.
Right. Sanja, we'll come back to you now. You've been a faculty member here for nearly 27 years. What changes have you seen throughout that time period, and what improvements has UK been working to make for these students?
Sure. So I started on as faculty in 1992. Initially, when I was hired in the College of Education, myself, along with a number of colleagues, African-American colleagues, we were hired because there was a thrust in the university to diversify its faculty. And at the time, diversifying the faculty, it was pretty much forced. You know, it's like there was a mandate at the state level that we needed to increase the level of diversity within our university. And as a result, myself, along with a number of faculty members, were hired. I believe now more than before, it comes from a place of realizing that we have wonderfully talented faculty that should be a part of our campus community, helping to educate our students, and not just our underrepresented minority students, but all students. We know that students are better off. Their frames of reference is far more broader when they have a diverse faculty member that's working with them. And so realizing the benefit of diverse faculty, and the fact that when we have diversity, we have a multitude of perspectives and lived experiences that goes along with having that diversity, that has been really important. And so as I look at where we are now in comparison to where we were in 1992, for example, I can remember around that time, and like 10 years upon coming to the University of Kentucky, we had around 50 or so African-American faculty. Wow. Now we have well over 100 African-American faculty. We have faculty throughout the university. We recognize that in some of the disciplines, particularly STEM disciplines, we don't have the number of African-American faculty that we would like to have. We recognize that this is not a University of Kentucky issue. This is a national issue. In fact, even faculty at majority-serving institutions struggle with identifying a significant enough number of faculty to serve in those roles. So when we're out there trying to recruit talent, particularly in STEM disciplines, we are up against every other institution in the United States to identify talent. Nevertheless, we are very vigilant and we're very intentional about making sure that we have the diversity of our faculty that exists within our classrooms.
Right, and that intention obviously has benefited the University of Kentucky in recent years. The goal of the Provost Office on campus is to be a resource for all of the University of Kentucky students, with that primary emphasis staying on enhancing UK's academic excellence and branding it as an institution to focus on the Commonwealth in ways that could have that national impact. The office has four pillars that are the main focuses: academic success, health and wellness, financial stability, and belonging and engagement. WRFL reporter Aaron Porter talked with African-American students on campus about their own experiences with financial availability.
The Office of Student Financial Aid and Scholarships offers two scholarships for returning students, the Academic Excellence Scholarship and the William C. Parker Diversity Scholarship. Although the William C. Parker is for minority students, it is not exclusively for African-American students at UK. There are universities that have scholarships that provide funds for African-American students exclusively. One example is at the University of Louisville, where the Woodford R. Porter Scholarship is for African-American students only. Based off the University of Southern California Race and Equity Center report card, Louisville came in as one of the top universities for representation and completion for African-American students. Raven Reeves, a freshman recipient of the William C. Parker Scholarship, says the scholarship helped bring her here, and she believes more scholarship opportunities could bring more African-Americans to UK.
Implement a scholarship solely for African-American students, that would encourage a lot more African-American students to go here, and in turn, the number of students that were getting that scholarship would go up, as well as the number of African-American students here would go up.
As of the 2016-2017 school year, 47% of African-American students received money from the William C. Parker Scholarship. For WRFL Radio, I'm Aaron Porter.
Well, like we just heard, the William C. Parker Scholarship is available for those minority students, but it's not necessarily a racial-based scholarship. It's simply diversity in general. Sandra, we'll start with you. Are there plans to provide more specific scholarship opportunities for those African-American students as opposed to the more broad Parker Diversity Scholarship? And do you see a need for that?
Absolutely. There is a need. We are more intentional in our efforts. There is never a day that goes by that we're not thinking about some of the ways in which we can ensure more resources to students, particularly those with financial need. So that is why we have UK Leads, whereby we are shifting some of the resources that were made available for merit students to ensure that more of our students with needs, financial needs, are receiving such resources. I'd like to turn to my colleague, Christine, to better answer that question, because I think she might be able to address it far better than I.
All right, Christine?
So certainly, I think that it's important to understand that the Parker Scholarship is for diversity and inclusion, and really to enhance diversity on campus. And as we started, the diversity on campus is predicated by having student groups from all over different races and ethnicities, as well as first-generation students, Appalachian students, etc. So we are very intentional with the use of our Parker Scholarships to be able to not only increase the number of students, particularly that will benefit the diversity of the college campus, but through a holistic process of reviewing those applicants, ensure that we are getting to goals that we have set to have a diverse campus community. The Parker itself, in terms of funding over the last 5 years, has significantly increased, and that is a signals the investment that the university is making in access and diversity, and really targeting specifically underrepresented students as well as those in other targeted groups to enhance that diversity. And so that would be what I would say, is that we really are working very, very hard to focus those efforts and really use that as a recruitment opportunity to increase diversity around campus.
Right. And you brought this up briefly, but the first interaction with the university, of course, is that recruiting process, which UK is, of course, putting a higher emphasis on at this point. That school first becomes on a student's radar through that recruiting process, and then they can find out more information throughout their high school career. For UK, they have started to provide a different way of recruiting, where they talk directly to the UK students. WRFL reporter Kiara Jackson spoke to freshman students on their experience with UK's preview nights.
The University of Kentucky recruits out-of-state students at their CBLUE preview nights. Preview nights bring UK to the students. They can learn more about admissions, financial aid, scholarships, housing, and programs that UK has to offer. UK recruits in 21 locations, traveling from Chicago to Atlanta. UK Preview Nights are hosted August to October, starting in Lexington. It is a one-night-only event, and it is open to the public. Last year, UK lost student recruiters in crucial markets of Chicago and Atlanta. According to the Office of Provost, UK has already replaced the two recruiters in Chicago and Atlanta.
Sandra, we'll start with you. What is your reaction to that?
We recognized that there was some ground that we lost over time, but we also recognized that despite the loss, there is some catching up that we need to do. I think we now have a new enrollment management specialist, Christine Harper, who is phenomenal. She has a wealth of knowledge, some very innovative ideas about some of the ways in which we will help to bridge the gap, and not only bridge the gap, but to move forward in increasing the numbers of our African-American students. And one of the things that we try and do is, when students come to campus, make sure that they get an understanding of what the life of a student is like from our current students. And so as much as we can, we try and interface our students with our prospective students, as well as create opportunities for students to meet faculty and staff as well, and tell them a lot about what campus life is like.
Right. Well, like we just heard, and like she briefly touched on, there are 50 less African-American freshmen this year than last year. From an enrollment perspective, how alarming is that, Christine?
I think it's a concern anytime you see a significant drop, and it's, I think, very important to really take a step back and try and triage what exactly occurred, because it really is important to be able to not just react, but react in a way that help solve what the issue is. So you have to do the work to understand what could have possibly caused those challenges. So in addition to having some losses, particularly in individuals that were actively recruiting in areas that have been substantial feeders for us, there were some changes in the application process last year for the Parker Scholarship in particular. And so we've remedied that situation, which will help. But addition to that, I think some of the other pieces, to Sanja's point of making sure students are getting here on campus, is helping students see themselves here. And so some of the things, I've been in this role since July, one of the big pieces is helping students be early in the conversation and understand who we are. As you mentioned, students make a college choice set. A lot of times students are choosing as early and have their choice set by the end of their junior year in high school.
It's so quick.
It's very quick. And so getting access and making sure that we're having those conversations is really important. But then also having students come on campus. And now with the new student center that we have, and the Gatton Student Center is fantastic. And so one of the focus I have is bringing more students to the institution through various means, and connecting them, to Sanja's point, with current students, and then partnering also with places like the MLK Center to help host some of those events, to really try to have students see what this experience would look like and speak to current students. Because honestly, that's the best way, the best marketing that you can do is have a current student talk to a prospective student and somebody say, oh, I can see myself here. I can see myself in that experience like that.
Right, Ruth, we'll send it to you. Now, you work obviously in the MLK Center. You work closely with a lot of minority students. What are any of the trends you have been noticing, and how do you see them coming in based on these issues we've been discussing?
As far as incoming freshmen coming in, or?
Yeah, just in general, any current enrolled students at the University of Kentucky.
Would you mind rephrasing that, please?
Yes, of course. So working at the MLK Center with those minority students, we've talked a lot about more programming, recruiting earlier, getting them to talk to prospective students. Do you see any trends in terms of how the students are coming to campus or how they're interacting with other students on campus?
Sure. Well, I think the biggest trends that we're seeing, especially from, so I'll say from freshmen, if we're particularly speaking about students we just recruited, one thing that we've seen is students, so the ones that have gotten here, many students still, going back to that piece of students, don't know what resources there are. So, for example, it's typically towards the end of semesters where we find students, oh my gosh, we didn't know that you guys were here. So one thing that we would hope to work with, and, you know, we've got some stuff under wraps, but that we're working on. But it's that piece of how do we continuously and creatively really inform students of what we have here, and how we can connect to them more. So I think that the university, it is safe to say that the university is moving towards a more movement of getting the students to be more connected with us even. So I know we've reached out to different platforms that we can use to better communicate with students, even prior to them getting on campus. So during that recruitment process, connecting them with admissions folks. But once students are here, I think there's that gap in between the summer where we're not really, once we've got the students admitted fully, you know, they're coming for their advising conference, whatever it is, even once they're here, sometimes even that 2-day advising conference isn't enough to really adequately get to talk to them and their parents. And so even once we have students admitted, going back to that piece about resources and just scholarships and things that there are here, we still have some students who even during the recruitment process had no idea that the Parker was an option, for example.
Right.
And so that trickles into, once we have the students already here fully on our campus, is that, you know, they're still, you know, seeing these gaps in between, how do we find a scholarship search tool online where, you know, we haven't had that for a minute. You know, we've got to figure out how to fix that so that we can direct students to resources, especially when there was a resource that has changed. I know we've been doing a lot of rebranding, and a lot of, you know, our websites have gone under construction. A lot of things are changing. And so how are we keeping up with the times and keeping our students up with the times as they come through? You know, things are different every year. Buildings are different. Policies are different.
Right.
And so how do we keep students up to date with that consistency, and so that they're consistently informed? You know, there's things that even we as staff, as faculty, as administrators, that we don't know has changed. And so just how can we, you know, pass that on to our students? So it takes us all.
Right.
But Those
and, of course, that information process is vital to recruiting students. And students can learn more about the University of Kentucky through 21 preview nights at various locations. WRFL reporter Kiara Jackson spoke with freshman students on their experiences after attending See Blue for Yourself preview nights.
Some students, when deciding on coming to the University of Kentucky, have the opportunity to see blue for themselves. But freshman Jalia Northington did not.
I went to Jeffersonville High School in Indiana, so yeah, I just kind of wish that they were around more because I was kind of looking for it. I was like, oh, where are schools like University of Kentucky, University of Louisville?
Another freshman, Zakiya Baker from Louisville, says her preview night was welcoming.
When I went there, I felt more comfortable. They made it seem like it was more family-based, like we were treated, you know, like better than I thought we would be, like, because I know about, like, UK being predominantly white and, like, some of, like, the racist things that happen on campus. So it made me feel more comfortable and confident that I could actually, like, make it here and get to where I want to be as a black woman on campus.
Now going into her second semester as a freshman, Zakiya Baker says her experience has been more student-to-student interactions.
I still feel like I could get where I want to go because of, like, the clubs that I'm in, like, the people I've been meeting, and like the upperclassmen and whatnot, but I haven't really got that same, like, we're here to help you vibe from the administrators and like teachers the way, like when we met President Capilouto, he shook our hands, like had a conversation with us, but here I haven't really had that happen with actual professors or things like that. It's more so the students who are looking out for each other.
And of course, there are those four pillars that we discussed earlier, belonging and engagement, student health and wellness, academic success, and financial stability, which the university says every student should be able to look for in order to be successful on this campus. WRFL reporter Aaron Porter takes a look at specifically the belonging and engagement pillar.
There are 30,473 students here at the University of Kentucky, with UK being the largest university in the state. The African-American population makes up 6.8% of the entire student body. There are 91 African-American professors to accommodate 2,093 students on campus. According to UK's Institutional Research and Advanced Analytics, the College of Communication and Information has less than 10 professors who are African-American. Student Senator for the College of Communication and Information, Chandler Frierson, speaks on the impact of not seeing representation with professors in the classroom.
They're supposed to have mastered whatever the subject is. So if every representation of someone who's mastered the subject does not look like you, then that could potentially lead one to believe that nobody that looks like me can master the subject or can be successful at this.
With a low total in numbers of African-American students, Mia Thompson, a junior at UK, speaks on the disconnection African-American students have with the university.
Yes, there are certain programs that every student on campus has, and that's available to us, but what is making us want to actually stay here? What is making us want to get involved? What is making us want to be a part of this UK system to where we end up being alumni who want to give back to our school because our school took care of us?
For WRFL, I'm Aaron Porter.
Well, like you just heard, there are students on campus who are striving to get to that graduation rate and to become an alum of the university. So UK has been working on a strategic plan to improve the African-American graduation rate. They created the plan in 2015 as UK looks to increase diversity and inclusion on campus and in the alum group. Going into the new year and closer to the end of the plan, WRFL reporter Kiara Jackson reports on the progress since 2015.
According to the 2015-2020 strategic plan, the university looks to double their amount of African-American faculty on campus in executive and administrative roles. In the strategic plan, there are multiple initiatives and action steps in place that will ensure the growth of the campus through diversity and inclusion. The plan will increase diversity among faculty, administrators, and staff. The plan was broken down into strategic initiatives and action steps. To foster a diverse community of engaged students, to improve workforce diversity and inclusion, and to engage diverse worldviews and perspectives by increasing awareness of diversity. The projected goal of this plan is to increase African American faculty to 6.9% by 2020. In 2015, its baseline was 3.4%. Female faculty was baseline at 37.1% in 2015, and it is projected to be at 48.2%. For the academic year of 2018 to 2019, UK has increased their graduation rate for underrepresented minority students to 54.2%, and their projected goal for 2020 is 60.2%. For WRFL, I'm Kiara Jackson.
A lot of information there to digest, so I want to give it back to our guests now. Like we just heard, there's a lot of issues getting those graduation rates higher for African-American students. And of course, the report that we touched on earlier in the year with the University of Kentucky receiving an F in that one category. So Sandra, I'll toss it to you now. If you had to respond to that F grade, what would that response be?
So the response is that the report, that USC report, is a very controversial report because it only gives a sliver of information and it doesn't take into totality all the relevant information that determines the success of a university. And so it really gives a misrepresentation about the work that is being done on our campus. And what is really interesting is that my colleagues, chief diversity officers from around the country, were concerned about the report because it only gives a small amount of information without looking at some broader issues regarding the success at universities. So while here at the university, we recognize that there is more that we can do, we are intentional about doing more to close the attainment gap. But what we also recognize is that here in the state of Kentucky, since 2011, 50% of all African-American students in the state of Kentucky have graduated from the University of Kentucky. And just last year alone, 25% of all African-American graduates graduated from the University of Kentucky. And so the problem with the report is that while it gives us information, but without contextualizing it and seeing that information in a much bigger picture, then you can lose sight of the good that we're doing and the benefits that we are having in ensuring that African Americans are graduating with a college education. And so that's the point I really want to make. We also know that one of the factors that are very important in terms of students matriculating and graduating is creating a community of belonging. I do agree that without us having a student center, as Ruth communicated, students were splintered. And it's not just our African-American students. A number of our student populations were splintered throughout the campus community without a living room, without having that place where they can congregate and just get to know each other and formulate that community of belonging. That's no longer an issue. We have this beautiful student center in the heart of our campus community. So throughout my unit, the Office for Institutional Diversity, within the Provost's unit, as well as other units, we are talking about how do we make this very big university with almost 60,000 students, how do we make it smaller? How do we create those affinities so that students can find people that are like them, that share their identities, their the things that they have in common.
And so how does UK do that? It is such a large university. How are you able to bring 60,000 students down to that smaller community that you're looking for?
So it really has to do with affinity. So for example, among our African American students, we have nearly 20 student organizations that are specific to African-American students. And of course, students can, first of all, they have to learn about the different student organizations, and then they have to decide to engage. So we're trying to inform students of student orgs, even when they come see UK for yourself. They're learning about these student organizations. And also, we're creating opportunities where students can identify programming that is specific to their identity so that if an African-American student want to find events that is consistent with what they would enjoy, it's not as difficult. So whether you go to the events page, it's easy to find. And also, we are creating ways in which all of the student orgs come together so that students aren't so splintered. So now we're having the Black Collective. We have two African-American interns, Brandon Colbert and Joy Craig. They are working with the Office for Institutional Diversity so that we can have these collectives such that even before students set foot on this campus, they know about ways in which they can come together. And all of the student orgs work together, understand ways in which they can engage each other, and that when there are issues, they can be brought to our attention and we can communicate with the students. So the provost and I, we have regularly scheduled meetings, 3 times in the fall, 3 times in the spring, where we meet with student leaders, talk about critical issues that are important to students, because there are times when we are not sharing information with students, they believe that things are not happening.
Right.
And it's just that they may not be aware of it, and they may not be aware of the intentionality around some of the things that we're doing unless we bring it to their attention. And so we're doing a better job of working in partnership, particularly with our African-American students, because as our students tell us, they are the masters of the student experience. And by communicating with us, we can partner together to make sure that UK is the best environment that we can make it for our students to have a community of belonging and engagement.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was so well said. Thank you all three of you really for joining us this afternoon to talk about this very pressing issue on the University of Kentucky's campus. We hope that we've helped rejoin that conversation started here today to highlight the importance of graduation and retention rates for especially African American students on UK's campus. We hope that the comments presented here from our experts today allow students to be a part of the conversation. Like you said, students are a huge part of this issue and really helping that inclusivity on campus. Thank you all for listening. This was our last broadcast for the semester, so thank you for listening. We'll be back again next semester. This has been Campus Voices. I'm Maggie Davis.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm, and of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.